Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca and the Voice of Reason, but we actually have, who do we have, Taz?
We do have, we actually have the leader of the Reason Party. Good morning to you, Fiona Patton. How are you?
I'm very well. Good morning, you two. Good morning, everyone.
Always great to have you on the airwaves. It'd be better when we can actually have you in the studio when we're allowed to do that. But all in good time.
I am beginning to get back.
All in good time. Now, look, just by way of introduction, not only are you the leader of the Reason Party, but you're also the Member of Parliament representing the Northern Metropolitan Region. So in your region, you've got a number of hotspot postcodes, haven't you?
Yeah, we most certainly do. And I think I did a quick calculation. I think probably well over 50% of the people who are in lockdown are residents of Northern Metropolitan.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's not a bright weekend for them.
Are you getting any feedback from them?
Look, I'm getting, there's frustration, but I think there's great resignation and people just, I think the messages have been, despite what the opposition says, I think the messages have been passed quite well about the lockdown. I think the problem is that we didn't get those messages out about physical distancing out to our community in ways that the message really got through to the wonderfully diverse community that it is. I don't think we used some of our public radio stations, particularly some of our ethnic radio stations, as best we could. And we've certainly seen people not with a full understanding of what physical distancing meant.
Look, I hear that, and obviously I'm going to agree with it, but I am going to also question it because I've been keeping a bit of an ear out to some of the community ethnic-based radio stations.
Yeah.
And because my family come from a non-English speaking background. And they listen to radio all day, all night.
I know.
And they know all about this. I mean, whenever I see them, we have vigorous debates about it. And Dad sort of questions it, and he's right to question it and challenge me. And I keep on reminding him that he's a 92-year-old man with multiple chronic illnesses, and if he got the virus, he would never, ever survive it. And then somebody's going to have to make a decision about which members of our very large extended family can attend his funeral. So that's kept him indoors nice and smart.
If you don't stay in, Dad, you're dead.
It's as simple as that. But, I actually think there is a thing around human behaviour here, and some people are just naughty, they just like to be naughty. I mean, what about those people who were in hotels who were sneaking out at night?
What about the super spreader?
Yeah.
I know.
What a term.
But look, I take your point, Tess, but I'd also say that, not only is this a very multicultural area, it's also an area we've probably got some of those postcodes are in the top five of disadvantage. So if you're saying that if you take a test, you can't work, if you test positive, you can't work, I think some people are really weighing what that means to their livelihood and the risks that they're willing to take to put food on their table or petrol in their car. And sure, there might be some naughty ones, but I think also while you had that argument with your 92-year-old father, I suspect other people are really weighing that up within their family about...
Well, they're making calculated decisions about whether they can afford to actually live or not. And I get that. And there's no question that, you know, this always affects people who are at the poorest end of our society.
Yes. I think what really disturbed me, and I haven't really known whether I'm allowed to go up into these areas, is the fact that police were bringing out just such a heavy number of police officers and getting the mounted police out there. I think that will be very confronting for people, and particularly some of our asylum seekers and refugees who have escaped countries where they have probably still got post-traumatic stress disorders from the experience that led them to coming to this country. And I do wonder whether we could have coordinated this in a slightly more humane or a slightly more thoughtful way than what appears to be happening up there.
And look, I think one of the challenges, Fiona, I think it is in the messaging. And, you know, whilst, you know, Tass's dad and others, there are lots of other communities that...
I get that.
Aren't hearing the message and perhaps aren't even aware that there's, I think, for example, $1,500 from the government if you have to isolate.
It's not much, but it goes some way.
People aware of it.
That's right. And I think that's a good point. And that's what we in our office, it's been trying to make businesses aware of what's available to them with the government and also now individuals about what is available to them.
Yeah.
Now, Fiona, can we change the topic?
Why not? COVID, really. Can we talk about something else?
I know. Interested in your reflections on the supervised injecting room and...
proposal for Melbourne.
Yeah. So what are your reflections on that?
Look, I am looking for more information because I've read the independent review of the Richmond Centre, and I think it didn't hold back any punches. It was a very honest review. It certainly justified the extension of the trial, and I think I'm not shocked that the recommendation is for another centre. I mean, back in 2000, when another expert panel looked at this, they recommended that we trial with 5 centres.
So that was back in 1999, to be precise.
And, well, that's right, huh?
And it was actually a then Labor Party promise.
Yep.
And
right.
They actually commenced rolling that out in 2000, and it got beaten by the opposition in the upper house.
Yep.
So the legislation never went through, and therefore the injecting rooms could not be established.
That's right. So what I haven't seen is the precise data. So I can look and I can tell you that that some really hot spots, and you can see it on the mapping data from Ambulance Victoria, is actually around Collingwood, is in Sunshine, is in St Kilda. But the Melbourne CBD, it is such a dense place that we need to find the most appropriate place. And because I haven't seen any data, are we seeing large numbers or significant numbers of overdoses? Are we seeing ambulance call-outs down to that sort of northwestern corner of the CBD? Is that where the hotspot is? Because we know in North Richmond...
So are you challenging the location? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not challenging it.
You're questioning us.
I'm questioning it, and I think it's right to do that. Look, I think the infrastructure down at that end of town is good, and I think that does make some sense. But is it actually where the ambulance call-outs are happening? And I just haven't seen the data. And look, it may well be that it's there.
My reading of the report, Fiona, was that the first spot is City of Yarra, the second highest rate of drug overdoses and deaths is Melbourne CBD, Brimbank, Port Phillip, in that order.
Yes.
and I forget where the fifth was, maybe Dandenong actually. So the data is real in terms of numbers in the CBD. The actual location, I don't know, but I suspect, and I'm just being a mere bystander here, I suspect the location has been determined because we already have a community health service in that location who also deliver alcohol and other drug services.
That's right.
So I think that's why that location's been identified. Yep. But you're right, it would be interesting to know exactly what the government's view is.
And you looked at...
Go on, Fiona, sorry.
I was going to say, you looked at some of the surveys they did of drug users in as part of that review, and so we were finding quite a significant amount of public drug using up off Smith Street or just off Collins, near Hoddle Street in Collingwood. Now, when asked why they didn't use the Richmond Centre, they said it's too far. And that, that was really probably 900... The people were being interviewed 900 metres from the centre.
Yes, I've heard that.
So that's why I think it's so important, and it's why it was so specific about that 300 square metre area of North Richmond. And while I understand there's great infrastructure down at CoHealth, I also think one of the questions that they raised in that report was, do we need such a medicalised approach to this? And the legislation stipulates how the centre's run, but we're going to need new legislation, and maybe we could look at something that was...
less medical, but still health-focused. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And more amenity-focused, more, pathway-focused. Yeah, whether we...
I'd love to see that because it would actually be trialling another model, wouldn't it? And seeing what works best. I think that's a great idea.
Right. Yeah. I don't think we should jump at this. I think we've got a little bit of time and it's going to require legislation, and we need to bring the community with us. And I know probably the first people that rang me were the Friends of Queen Vic Markets.
Yeah.
Now, progressive, good people, but obviously... they've seen all the negative press, so they've got their concerns.
Yeah. Just briefly, Fiona, we've got a minute or two before we have to go. You're introducing a bill to remove charitable tax exempt status from Victorian institutions who don't sign up to the National Redress Scheme. So just so our listeners understand, that's state government, and that would be local rates, land tax, stamp duty, payroll tax, all those things, quite separate to what the federal government's doing.
That's right.
I should say you have my absolute support on this. What's the strategy and the timetable for that, Fiona?
Well, look, we'll wait and see. I mean, the Attorney General was pretty firm on this as well, that she would look at defunding any organisation that did not sign up to the redress, any Victorian organisation that did not sign up to the redress scheme. And that she would also consider removing their charitable status for tax purposes. So Parliament doesn't go back till August. We've got the bill at the ready. We've got it drafted, ready to go. So I hope that we see the federal government and the state government actually rising to that challenge and doing it. I mean, there's no point saying... sign up or something bad will happen if nothing happens.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you look at Jehovah's Witnesses, I think they're a perfect example of an organisation that has just really almost given the middle finger to the redress scheme.
Yeah.
Despite the chapters in the Royal Commission's reports about the harm that they caused to so many people.
You get no argument from me.
Or me.
on any of that.
No, look, I've got the chaplain scheme in my
good.
View as well, because I think some of these organisations also engage in that proselytising that they're able to do through federally funded chaplaincy program.
And, my view is any school or institution... Mm. Right, that demonises individual groups on the basis of their race or their sexuality or their religious belief, they get no government funding at all. Now, I know state governments, they disagree, but I say unless you're going to be equitable and fair to everyone, you get no money from the public purse. Get your trotters out of the trough.
I think we're all being reasonable this morning, aren't we?
I think
shut the bastards down.
And can I just add one quick thing? I know we're running out of time, but, you know, at the moment, that chaplaincy program is the only... So the people who work in those public schools under that program, it is the only job that you can discriminate.
Yeah.
So we don't discriminate in public schools against the staff who work in them, except under the chaplaincy program, where they must meet the requirements of the religious order that, that signs them up.
I think you and I need to form a church, a religion, Fiona. Perhaps there's some funding we could get.
I think we need to do a deep dive into this issue.
Party instead, but I think this probably needs more conversation.
It does.
And probably needs some wine.
we're going to have to go, Fiona. As always, it's a pleasure, and thank you for your work. And we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, look forward to it. Stay safe, everyone.
Okay, bye. Cheers.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.